Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, thank you, Dan. This is a Friday, so on Fridays we do interviews. I could not be more excited about my guest today here on Revitalize and Replant, the special Friday edition. It's Bob Payne, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is, he's one of my heroes. Seriously, he's one of my absolute heroes. Bob is a layman. He has a position, a volunteer position, with Experiencing God Ministries. He's a cancer survivor. He's a world traveler. He has a heart. I just can't go on. Here, okay, so Bob, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, start out, if you don't mind, because there's a lot of people listening, talk to us about your physical journey, your cancer journey. That's the first thing. First time I met you, we talked some about that, and really, your testimony on that really impressed me and really made an impression on me, I should say.
Well, I'll just say this. In 2004, 2005, the Lord blessed me with my first terminal illness with pancreatic disease.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst 2 years of my life, but it was the best 2 years of my life.
Okay.
I wouldn't exchange it for anything.
All right.
And 2009, He blessed me again. There was something going on through the world called H1N1 virus.
Right.
And there was three of us in Atlanta. And I was one.
Really?
And I lost my right lung.
Yeah.
And was in ICU, dying again. And then soon after that, we heard COVID. I've had it 5 times.
Yeah.
I was hospitalized the first time. But it's okay. It's all been fun.
Can I ask you how old you are?
Going on 70.
Going on 70. Well, you're just young then,
yeah,
buddy. How'd you meet Henry Blackaby?
Well, my wife drugged me kicking and screaming to First Baptist Church Jonesboro. I did not want to go.
Jonesboro, Georgia.
Yes,
yep.
Sir. It
okay.
was a huge church, and we were members of a very small church. And she got involved in Sunday school. I refused to go for 7 years, and she prayed me and, frankly, nagged me into Sunday school.
Okay.
I used to travel on Sundays for business, and one Sunday, for some reason, I turned, and I followed my wife to Sunday school.
What was your business?
I was a food safety consultant. Before 1999, if you ate food in America from any company, I was their advisor.
Really?
And I traveled every day, and it was fun. Made a lot of money, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Okay.
And my wife drug me to that class, and soon thereafter, they gave me a card to fill out, and I taught in my business, and one of the check marks was teach, and I checked teach.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do that in a Baptist church. The next Sunday, I was a Sunday school teacher. And there were three men in the class that knew something I didn't know, and one man kind of latched onto me, and he began praying for me at the altar every Sunday. One Sunday, he asked me to come to his house at 5:30 on Tuesday morning, and I went.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to teach me scripture for 2 years every Tuesday morning between 5:30 and 7:30. The first scripture he taught me was John 17:3. This is eternal life, that Bob Payne may know you, the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you sent.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for 2 years, and my wife told me about this thing called Experiencing God.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you couldn't have been in a Baptist church and not have heard of Henry Blackaby.
That's right.
And I said, look, what I've heard is that you sit in a room for 13 weeks with strangers in a large church, and you cry. And I said, I'm not in. And so I said, I'm not going. I put my foot down. I'm the
yeah.
spiritual leader of this household, and
yeah.
we're not going.
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, we walked into the class because Rita's in charge.
Yes.
And they gave us our workbooks.
Right.
And I opened it up, and inside the workbook was a picture of the author. And I began to weep and shake. And they probably thought I was having a heart attack because the man who had been teaching me scripture for 2 years was the author of Experiencing God. He
yeah.
never said, I'm Dr. Henry Blackaby. He said, I'm Henry, I love you.
Wow.
And I knew that I had a significant debt to pay, because people all over the world would give anything for time with Henry Blackaby. And
sure.
I'd been traveling with him, teaching. He was in my Sunday school class for 23 years. And the wisdom and the heart that came out of this humble man just radically changed my life. And then we went through Experiencing God. It just exploded. It just
right.
exploded, and everything changed.
Right. Yeah, I don't think guys today fully understand that there was if you could graph revivals, there was a blip in 68 to 72 or 3 with the Jesus movement, for sure. And then there was also a blip in the early 90s with Experiencing God. Now, you know, we haven't had a a coast-to-coast dramatic spiritual awakening in North America. But we've had some blips, if you will, noticeable places, and those were two of them. And experiencing God, man, it went. You didn't do viral in the early 90s, but it went viral, and it was all kinds of denominations. I mean, it penetrated every continent. Yes. It's amazing what that – and, you know, when Lifeway and Claude, they put that together, I mean, they knew it was going to be – they did a lot of those kinds of things. It was just another one of those series of studies, but God had other things in mind. And so I just wanted our folks to realize that you had a relationship with Henry that few people have, and I love the fact that you really didn't put two and two together and realize this is the Henry Blackaby. This is just my friend Henry from church. And so tell me, when did you decide, hey, I'm going to just quit my job and I'm going to be a volunteer full-time with Blackaby Ministries?
Well, Henry just spent so much time with me and taught me, and I just followed the way he lived. And I began to try to live that way, which was, of course, the model of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And on the last Sunday of October 1999, our pastor, the greatest preacher I've ever heard, was preaching his last sermon.
Who was that?
Dr. Charles Q. Carter.
Okay. Have you ever heard me preach?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay, well, anyway. I just wondered about that. I just, you know, I appreciate that, Bob. Thanks a lot.
CQ is special, all right? To this day, he's a friend.
I'm teasing
so
you.
So I heard him preach this message, and I'd heard preachers talk about the call of God. I'd never understood it. And I found myself at the front of the church with Dr. Carter telling him that through his sermon, and Henry Blackaby telling me for years, you simply cannot stay where you are and go with God.
Amen.
I said, tomorrow I'm going to my corporate office and I'm going to quit.
Wow.
And my wife gave me the Baptist salute. What? You know,
yeah.
And little old ladies, sweet ladies at Jonesboro were whispering, does he know he has children to raise in
right.
a home and all that stuff?
Right.
But I fully believed that you can't stay where you are and go with God. And so I started looking for training, and Henry told me a place to go to. I went to every Southern Baptist seminary, was not comfortable, and he told me there was an extension campus in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and visited, and it was in a terrible old building,
mm-hmm.
falling apart, but I felt so good, so
good.
Right. And so I started at the New Orleans Seminary in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and just started preaching and teaching more, and it just evolved, and God has been very good in invitations. It's reality number three is the one I still don't understand, that God invites us to join it.
Okay, let's. I got so much I want to talk about. We're going to do it quick. So, first of all, among some younger guys, and older guys, I suppose, too, definitely older guys, but among some of our Southern Baptist tribe, there are some people who've never really poured into experiencing God, read Henry at length. They've just looked at little bits here and there, and they go, some people, you know, like, well, you know, that's all God spoke to me, God said to me, God did this, you know, just, and the reality is, I love what Henry would say, you know, they'd say, does God speak to you still? And Henry would say, well, when you became a Christian, did God speak to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, when you surrendered to ministry, did God speak to you? Yeah. When he called you to the church, so I guess God does speak to you. Anyway, that's a whole other story for another day. I just want to, any of you people out there that are all...
Can we introduce the seven realities very quickly?
Go ahead. Go for the seven realities.
These are the realities that God gave Henry Blackaby.
And we'll put them in the show notes. Okay, go ahead.
And he and Claude King put this in writing.
Yeah.
Reality number one from John chapter 5, 19 and following, God is always at work around us.
Right.
Jesus said, my Father's always been at work, and I'm at work to this very day. And he compared himself to God, and that's when they decided to kill him.
That's right.
And he said in that scripture that the Father reveals his work to us because he loves us. That just blows my mind. God is always at work. Number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that's real and personal. He
right.
does the pursuing. It's absolutely amazing. He pursues us. And I believe that's the number one reality, but Henry always told me, well, you're not the author. So anyway, reality number three, God invites us to join his work. And that just, after 30 years, it blows my mind.
Right.
Number four, you just mentioned, God speaks. There are
right.
wonderful Baptists in this world that I meet that don't believe that.
That's right.
God speaks by the Holy Spirit through prayer, scripture, circumstances in our lives, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. He's very personal. He's revealing himself, his purposes, and his ways. And we could talk about that one for hours.
Right.
And every time God speaks, he brings us to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. It's not a crisis. It's not a heart attack. It's not a lost job or even COVID. It's a crisis of decision that requires faith and action. And when God speaks to us, he requires us to make major adjustments to join him in his work. And we have to adjust. And listen, if you've never worked in the nursery and God calls you to the nursery, that's a major adjustment.
That's right.
You don't have to go to Iraq.
Right.
You can do it in your church. And finally, when we see God accomplish his work through our obedience, we come to know him by experience in intimate ways. It's very Hebrew. It's experiential. The Greeks mm-hmm. wanted head knowledge, but the Hebrews want to experience God.
Right.
And so very quick. And I've seen those realities explode in over 300 churches in America, and I've been to in 200 overseas, mostly Muslim countries. And it's just a very simple, basic message, but God still uses it.
So what does Bob Payne do? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He is a volunteer. I mean, he doesn't really raise support. People just support him. He just trusts the Lord day to day. That's all. So absolutely. He gets no income from Experiencing God Ministries. He's self-sustaining, self-supporting. But a couple of things. He leads Experiencing God Weekends, and we'll talk about those in a second. But you also travel all around the world just loving on Christian believers in some really tough places.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to know, man, I'm sitting across from a real live missionary hero. I don't know if I can say all the places that you've been. I mean, I don't know how safe that is. Why don't you share with our local listeners some of the places you've been, and if you got to be clandestine about it, be clandestine about it. And some of the stories of the believers in those places. And I mean recently. This is a 70-year-old man, ladies and gentlemen.
Been to Nigeria, mostly northern Nigeria, 17 times. It's very strong Muslim area. I teach in a couple of seminaries there as a volunteer professor. So first place I was invited to go to after I lost my lung. Mm. Amazing experience. And been a couple of times I was preaching in Nigeria where Boko Haram came in and started killing people.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common. It's just like the sun coming up.
Right.
Iraq, 20 times. Baghdad, mostly. But I've had the opportunity twice to preach in Mosul, which most people don't know. Mosul is the second largest city in Iraq, but Mosul is Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there.
It's Nineveh.
Some of the antiquities are there.
Yeah.
And every village I preach in Iraq, I always start with a short overview of the book of Jonah. Some of them know, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the last chapter of Jonah, and I'm paraphrasing here, but God is still upset with Jonah,
mm-hmm.
and God says something like this, "Should I not
mm-hmm.
have compassion on the people
of Nineveh?"
Of Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
And when every time I've done that, whether mm-hmm. it's 200 or 5,000 with a megaphone,
mm-hmm.
murmuring starts.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems like arguments, and eventually a man will stand up. He's in charge and says to an interpreter, "Are you telling us that we should have compassion on ISIS?"
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard that, I was scared.
Right.
But then I said, "I'm not telling you that. God is."
Right.
And every time, Mark, revival is broken out.
Yeah.
When they realize that God requires us to love.
Mm-hmm.
And so Iraq is amazing. It's a difficult place. Iran, but can I say that my most unique experience
yes.
has been I was invited to tea with the Imam of Baghdad.
Really?
And was told I couldn't go by the pastor. I sleep in a Presbyterian church in Baghdad.
Okay.
And it was a two-hour meeting that when Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing," it wasn't working that day for me. I think I sweat 8 pounds away. And he began to tell him, share Islam with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting up on a pedestal, and I was on the floor. And he
wow.
was very commanding and not very nice. And he kept telling me, "I have a dire warning for you. You could die at any moment." And I thought I was, because
yeah.
there were some people there that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, "A dire warning for you." And then he finished about 45 minutes. He said, "I've had a dire warning for you. do you have a dire warning for me?
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he was educated in the U.S. I won't go there. But
okay.
So I began to share our faith with him.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman roads, I couldn't remember. I just shared our faith. And so we agreed to separate on good terms, and I backed my way out of that room and made my way to the car was waiting on me, and I left the next day. And he asked me, when I came back, to bring him two English books.
Mm-hmm.
And so I returned 2 years later, and I brought him two English books. I brought him an English NASB Bible,
okay,
and a copy of Experiencing God. And
wow.
He was none too happy, but he asked for two books, and I brought them.
Okay.
And then I guess the other thing is my experiences in northern Nigeria with persecution.
Oh, my goodness. I just your love of people, your love of the gospel, your call to go to these places. Listen, Bob's not going to these places because he's an adventure hound at all. And bless his wife, man. She prays for him, and she wants – I mean, but Bob goes because he senses the invitation of God to join him in this work. And Bob, you don't look dangerous. When I first met you, you don't look like a James Bond. You don't look like a SEAL Team 6. You recently – look, this is not easy work. This is not glamorous work. You moved from a place of very considerable financial security to a place now late in your life with no financial security at all. And also your health, you've lost a lung, you've had COVID, and now your eye. I want the people who are listening to this, I want them to hear your story recently. To me, it was just unbelievable. And yet you're sitting across from me. We're at a Replant Summit, and Bob drove up here to be part of this just because he wants to be among God's people. He wants to encourage replanters. He doesn't take a – he's not home resting up. And yet, tell him what happened to you and the journey to get back here and the injury you had.
Well, let me say one more thing about Syria real quick. So I go to Nigeria quite a bit, and I was there in April for a month. About 9 days in, something happened that was not on my agenda. We were walking to church. I was with about 50 believers in northern Nigeria, heavily Muslim area, and Boko Haram attacked. They came after the church. Now, they won't purposely hurt an American. They're scared to death of our military.
Mm-hmm.
But the believers were running, so I ran too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't run very good. I'm old. I got bad knees. But something just happened. My right eye just, not literally, but it popped. It stopped seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was. I thought it was temporary. I couldn't see out of my right eye. And I waited a few hours. Then I began communicating with doctors back home. And they all three said, we don't know, but you got to get home. So it took me about 3 days to get home, and you know when you have a last-minute international flight, it costs a fortune.
Well, tell me how you got from where you were in northern Nigeria even to Europe. Talk.
Well, it's an eight-hour drive to the airport to Abuja. And I got to the airport, and my favorite local Atlanta airline wanted $4,200, and I said, well, first of all, I don't have that. But anyways,
right.
Started looking at options. I found an option through Europe, and 3 days later through Detroit. Again, I never asked, but I put out an email to my Experiencing God team what was going on, and I said, it's going to cost me $3,700 to get home.
Yeah.
And 24 hours later, the money was there.
Yeah.
And so there's no cure.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get shots in my eye first week of every month for 24 months, but the doctor said it probably won't work, but that's what we're trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I got two eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to learn how to read with one eye.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Nigeria are so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
For the gospel,
mm-hmm.
that even a really dumb sheep like me from Jonesboro, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
can go.
Mm-hmm.
If I can go,
mm.
anybody can go.
Mm. Man, I love you more than you know. And I follow you. You email me from the most unusual places. Kyle, you're right here. If you looked at Bob, would you think he's experienced all those things he just said?
Like a secret agent.
He's, but he just looks like your granddad, man. He just I love you, and you've been such an important part of my life, and I wish we had time. I'll tell you what, let's do a second episode, all right? So we're going to do a second episode just on Experiencing God and Experiencing God Weekend. So you check back with us on another Friday. We'll put it up there, and we'll do Bob Payne 2.0, all right? Thanks, Bob.
I've never been called 2.0.
We'll put your contact, some of your stuff in the show notes, too. Right. So, yeah, that way if people want to follow you on email or even support you, that would be fun.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.